Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I wonder how many of us have got lost when we've followed a path that we thought was familiar, but found that we had forgotten and found ourselves somewhere completely different. Often in life, we take a course that seems right to us, but it turns out all wrong. And many divorced couples will admit this. They fall in love and everything seems to be rosy. But then soon after they begin their lives together, tragically they realize that they are not compatible at all. And the marriage that seems so wonderful and so promising at the beginning ends in separation, and often in acrimony, that is, arguments over how much money each party gets. In my daily reading today, the Apostle Paul took a journey in a ship that started well. Let me read from the passage in Acts chapter 27, verses 8 to 14. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, that's warned them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading, that's the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious, that's not comfortable to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenis, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous, that is, a stormy wind, called Euryclidon. When the captain of this ship was keen to make progress and get to Phenis, because he didn't want to spend the winter in Lacia, because it wasn't comfortable. The problem was that to get to Phenis meant sailing when the weather was now dangerous, rather like setting sail during the hurricane season, if you're living in the Caribbean. It's not a good idea because the weather can suddenly change and of course your boat could be destroyed. In verse 10 we read Paul's warning to the captain of the ship. Sire, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship but also of our lives. This was a risky venture which would put both the ships, cargo, and even the lives of the sailors and the passengers at risk. How many people take similar risks today? They see the prospect of great wealth and prosperity, but the way to those riches requires great risk to both themselves and their possessions, and sometimes people's lives. Many a business venture has failed because of a desire to make more money and be more successful, taking risks with what money they have. investing it and finding that everything goes wrong. The ship's captain was influenced not by Paul, who warned him of the danger of setting sail at this time of year, but because a soft south wind sprang up and it looked as though all would be well. They were heading north, and of course the south wind was exactly what they needed. The problem was that the captain hadn't thought it through. A wind can die down or change direction as soon as it started or sprung up. Think of the weather in this country. This week we've had snow and freezing temperatures, then in the past couple of days, double figures in the, for the temperature and pouring rain. The south wind soon gave way to a stormy wind called Euryclydon, which nearly destroyed the ship. Well, let's apply our verse to our own situation, or to this situation. There was a way that seemed right to this ship's captain. He wanted to get to Phenis because it would be more comfortable, and the south wind was blowing. He ignored Paul's warning of catastrophe and instead was deceived by the south wind. Of course, he soon regretted his decision, but by then it was too late. And it was the grace of God only that saved the lives of the crew and the passengers. The ship itself was destroyed on rocks, and so was the cargo. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus' ministry. Like Paul's warning to the ship's captain, he had a warning to the Jews of his day. And we read that warning in Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. A lot of people came to John to get baptized. Yet he was angered by the Pharisees. He described them as a generation of vipers. Vipers are like adders, same word as for adders, poisonous snakes. And he asked them, who had warned them to flee from the wrath to come? They were aware that there was a coming judgment upon mankind. And tragically today, few people are aware of this coming judgment. Most think that they'll die, and that will be the end of everything. Funerals have turned into celebrations, and indeed there's a growing practice not to have funerals at all. The Bible is very clear. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, we read, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Immediately following death is judgment. It's not oblivion. All of us, when we leave this world, will awake to judgment. And it will come as a shock to many people. The Bible is uncompromising about these two destinations. Heaven, a place of everlasting bliss, where we will be together with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. And hell, a place of everlasting torment, which will be indescribably terrible and go on forever and ever. The problem with the Pharisees is that they thought they were safe just because they were Jews, that is, the children of Abraham. We might think that rather strange. Yet many of us fall into exactly the same trap ourselves. We grow up in our traditions, inherited from our ancestors. Perhaps we come from generations of Roman Catholics. Perhaps our parents didn't believe in God at all and were atheists. We might be Muslims and believe this way of life is right simply because that's all we've ever known. And there's a great sense of security in this way of thinking, isn't it? You think, well, many have lived their lives believing what my family believes, so surely that's right for me as well. And of course there's a strong pressure to conform with what our family expects of us. Indeed, they will say, well, we've given you all these things, the least you can do is to follow our advice in the direction you lead your life in. Another way of putting this point is that we have a tendency to follow the tradition of men. There's a comfort to doing what other people have always done, isn't there? This was also the Pharisees' problem. They weren't just relying on being children of Abraham, but also following the man-made traditions of their forefathers. And this is what the Lord Jesus said about them in Matthew 15, verses 1 to 3. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why don't they follow the tradition of the elders, of our forefathers? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Your tradition is contrary to the teachings of God in the Bible. They were placing their man-made traditions in the place of God's teaching to them. And there are many who do exactly the same today. For example, people believe that just getting baptized saves you. Yet the Bible teaches us to believe first. And this is best illustrated in the account of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, reading from verses 36 to 38. And as they went there on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Countless millions have fallen into the trap of believing that all they have to do is to get baptized and then go to church from time to time. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we're told, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May I ask you this morning, if you're hoping to go to heaven, what is the basis of that hope? The Bible teaches that it is by grace that we're saved and not by works. In other words, salvation, our place in heaven, is a gift from God, like theatre tickets that are given away. Not so. We don't buy a place in heaven. It is a gift to us. The tragedy for the Pharisees is that they were relying on their traditions and their good works. An example of this was a story that the Lord Jesus told of two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican or a tax collector, who were considered wicked men in those days because they would add to the taxes that they were due to collect and make a profit for themselves. They were corrupt. This is what we read in Luke chapter 18 verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give thee of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The Pharisee was trusting in the good works that he'd done, how he had performed his religious duties. What a subtle trap that is to fall into. There are people who say, "Oh, well, I always do to others as I would have them do to me." And it sounds so good, so righteous, doesn't it? Except if you examine their lives, if they examine their own lives, would they be able to say that everything they do reflects that principle? Or is the truth that sometimes the things that they do reflect that principle of doing to others as you would have them do to you? Well, of course, when we become Christians, we have to live holy lives, or seek to live holy lives. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We can't become Christians and just live lives as we like and do what we like, because it will just show us to be hypocrites, or like the Pharisees. We'll be saying one thing and doing another. And living holy lives is a proof that we've been saved. But our good behaviour is never the reason why we'll go to heaven. It's simply proof of the fact that we've been saved, and God has put his Holy Spirit in our hearts and is changing us from within, causing us to do good works to give him glory. Returning to our verse, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Note that this verse speaks about the end of the way that seems right to a man. The way, the end thereof, are the ways of death. So there is a way, singular, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural, of death. See, there are many ways that lead to death. And when we take one of them, rather like a stream that flows into a river, we find that there are lots of other streams that flow into that river too, and that river is a broad river leading to an even wider sea and ocean. There are many ways that lead to death, and when we take one of them, we join a highway, a broad way, consisting of many paths, all with the same terrible destination. And this is why the Lord Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Friends, there is a narrow way that leads to life. There is a way that leads to heaven. And the Lord Jesus tells us about this, as I'm sure you all remember, in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we want to go to heaven, there's no point trusting in other religions. There's no point trusting in our good works or our human philosophies, whatever they are. There's one way, and that is through, is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we have to do is we have to repent. This is what John the Baptist told the Pharisees, remember? The problem is that they said they were sorry, but they didn't mean it. And they didn't show their sorrow by their good works, by their works. So I can say I'm sorry to you, but it's a bit of a hollow sorry if I know I've caused you harm and I'm not willing to make up for the damage I've done. Becomes a hollow sorry, doesn't it? You've probably known it when you've said your brother or your sister said sorry to you, and you know they haven't really meant it. And they show they haven't meant it because they repeat the thing again a few minutes later. Have you had that kind of sorry? Yeah, I can see one head nodding. There are probably a few more heads nodding. You see, true sorrow means that you will turn away from that behaviour and not repeat it. And so merely saying sorry to the Lord but carrying on an unchanged life is going to lead you to that broad way that leads to destruction. And that's what happened to those Pharisees. They really, as we saw, just trusted in the fact that they were Abraham's children. And isn't it easy for us to think, surely God isn't going to judge me. I'm special. I'm different to other people. It's not going to happen to me. But we need to take warning from the Bible. We are no different to anybody else. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not even one. Not one of us is righteous. All of us have gone astray, have gone out of the way. There's one way back, and that is the narrow way, the narrow gate, the straight gate. That is repentance, a turning away from sin, and belief that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for my sin on the cross when he died. And then a yielding to him with our lives. A willingness to go his way and not our way. And that can be the hardest thing for us to do because it's a daily dying to self. In Luke 9, verse 23, the Lord Jesus tells us what is required of a disciple. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, that is, say, I'm no longer living my life for myself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I think it's interesting that the Lord Jesus inserted that word daily. It's easy to start well, isn't it? Especially at the beginning of the year. How many New Year resolutions have been broken even before January is out? But you see, every day we need to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. It starts in the morning before we get out of bed. Are we going to get out of bed the right side or the wrong side? The right side is taking up our cross. The wrong side is leaving our cross in bed. And we have to decide each day what we're going to do. There's a life of sacrifice required for the believer. And Paul put it this way in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What he's saying is, it's no longer me that lives. I don't need me time anymore, because I don't exist. I was buried when I gave my life to Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. When Christ died on that cross, if you look behind the Lord Jesus, you'll see me and every other Christian crucified with Christ. So that our life, my life now, you can see me, I look the same, but inside I'm different. Christ now lives in me. And you should see that by the things that I say and do. I no longer take the Lord's name in vain, swear, engage in other filthy language, because there's a new spirit in the Christian. And the same should be true for any Christian. You'll see that they belong to Christ by their works. The Lord Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And a Christian who hasn't changed is not a Christian at all. There is a way, even there's a way that a Christian, someone who calls himself a Christian, thinks is right. But the way are the ways of death. It's possible to say you're a Christian, to go to church, but unless your heart has been changed, unless you are living for Christ, it becomes just a vain hope, a clanging cymbal, ringing a bell which is hollow inside. It's the only way you get a ring, isn't it? So, friends, there's a warning here in our passage, in our verse, isn't there? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's not make judgments according to what I think is right. No prophecy of the scriptures is by private interpretation. No one has written this book just saying what they think. Every other book in the world is written, it's men's opinions. This is the only book in the world which is not men's opinion. It's God's teaching. God has said. So if we want to live our lives aright, we will follow what this word says. It's the only book that does not contain a single opinion, at least in its teaching. So friends, are we going to live life based on my opinion or on God's opinion? Surely it's what God thinks that matters. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let us be warned. Let us turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to him who has come to give us abundant life. Amen.